Ladies first, okay. I'll see you guys amongst yourselves, and apparently you have. If you have any questions, you know, hold your hands up, and we'll grab the cards. I've got a few for those of you who have others for the candidates. Write them down, and we'll get them. So now let me introduce Maria Barnes, and what I'm going to have. You'll have the 2-minute warning, the 1-minute warning, and the end. No matter where you are in Michigan,
cut off at the end.
So, Maria Barnes.
I won't use the mic. Maria Barnes, and I am running for City Council. I am also the president of the Kendall Whittier Neighborhood Association and vice president of Midtown Coalition. I have lived in District 4 for over 20 years. My claim to fame would be Kendall Whittier, all the accomplishments we've had. I was part of the process in 1988 to get a master plan for Kendall Whittier. I think everyone knows who should have a plan. I'm also a human rights commissioner, and I'm also the board on the board for Cooptown Daycare. I've served on several police committees. I am also on the Neighborhood Task Force, Division 2025. And I have lots more things I could talk about that I won't. The reason I'm running is because I've been involved in neighborhoods for years, and to me that's my priority. We need to protect our neighborhood. I have done this for a long time. I have time to do it. It is a full-time job, and I can give it full-time. I feel very passionate for District 4. I think we have a lot of things we need to be protected and the neighborhood to be concerned about and be aware of. The police department is also another thing that I've worked with for a long time on committee, and I know they want to be involved in neighborhoods. They have tried, and their hands have been tied somewhat with the mayor to not get involved, and they have talked to neighborhood policing, so that's another core to working with them and getting into the neighborhood. Anyway, I think I've done it for a long time. I have a track record, and I will leave some information for you to look at. And feel free to call me. My number's on here, and just vote for me. Thank you.
So did we work out who was going to be next? I'm Charles Kinn, I'm running for the City Council of District 4. I've lived in the area roughly 10 years. I've grown up in Tulsa all my life, but I've lived in this district for roughly 10 years. And the reason I'm hobbling is one of the things that I intend to do is lower crime in this area, and I was a major problem last night. I was out doing some stuff and became a victim of hit and run, and that's a major problem in Tulsa County. And there's other crimes that are also high up on the list. We are right now the worst city nationwide of crime. We are 2 times higher than the national average, and that is of 19 out of 2003 by the Federal Bureau of Investigations. They do a statistic once every 3 years, and 3 years ago they declared us 2 times worse than the national average. Streets are another major problem. I can be going down one street or another, and I don't know what it is, but I get potholes every time. That's a major concern. Another major concern, and pretty much most of us is kind of semi-agreed on this, is we need to redevelop the west side of the river a little bit. We need to redevelop downtown, get it back to where it was. We're going to work hard with that. I've met with Mr. Campbell, which was one of the two gentlemen that just bought 20 of the buildings in the downtown area. And he is very excited about redeveloping downtown and revitalizing the downtown area's nightlife. And I would work very diligently to do that. And in neighborhoods, yes, there are major crime problems going on. And we will work diligently to lower the crime in neighborhoods. I was, just a few months ago, I was talking to a relative of mine that lives in the district. Her house was robbed 3 times in less than 2 weeks. it's time that we stop the robberies and burglaries that are happening in neighborhoods. I worked very hard to get all that done.
Thank you for that long intro. I really appreciate it. Good evening. My name is Rick Brinkley. Many of you may know me as the president of the Better Business Bureau here in town. I've been there for about 7 years. My job at the Better Business Bureau is to be able to protect the little guy and at the same time balance that against the ability to keep an ethical marketplace to allow good business to succeed. And so I see the role of being a city councilor an extension of what it is that I already do. My background is in the community is not only being at the Better Business Bureau, but also serving on the board at Theater Arts Productions, the Oasis Adult Daycare Facility, and believing very strongly in what Tulsa has to offer. The key things that I see as being important to the city, not just the district, but the entire city, is number one, economic development. I've got an 8-year-old grandson that I don't want to have move any more than 20 minutes away from me, and that can't happen if he doesn't have a job to go to in this city. So I think that the city council needs to be able to create an environment in which people want to relocate their businesses here, and locally owned businesses can flourish and succeed and be able to want to hire new people. Along with that goes along with economic development goes neighborhood enhancement. And the fact that the neighborhoods that many of us have moved into in this district, we chose to move to that district because, or in that neighborhood because of what it had to offer. We've got to be able to protect the neighborhoods that we have at the same time of being able to allow economic development, and those two things can coexist, believe it or not. The second thing is public safety. I think we all know the realities of the safety issues facing this city. My father was a police officer. I grew up with a father as a police officer. My sister worked in the district attorney's office. I grew up in an environment in which public safety and law enforcement was critically important. The bottom line is my grandson does not feel safe enough to live in this city. He doesn't care if he's got a job here or not. We've got to be able to make people feel safe and be able to provide those basic needs. And that third piece of that puzzle is just basic infrastructure. Making sure the streets are good, making sure the potholes are filled, making sure the sewer systems work, the water systems work. I was criticized once because I made the comment that the role of the city council should not be to micromanage the city. The role of the city council is to be able to serve as a counterbalance to the mayor's office and making sure that this city functions in the way in which we as citizens need for it to function. It's my firm belief that a city councilor has got to have a vision for the future, there's no question about it, but also a sense of responsibility to the people who individually elected him or her. And that means that the city council's got to look out for District 4 while at the same time being able to have a vision for the entire city. I think my background allows me to have those skills, and I would encourage you or ask for your vote if you are voting in my primary next Tuesday. I'd ask for your vote. And also, if I'm fortunate enough to make it through that election in the general election in April. Thank you very much.
So, Jack Wayne, would you like to come to the podium, please?
Hi, my name is Jack Wayne, but I'm on the ballot for John Wayne. I'll explain that later on. Most of you have been better on that already. A little bit about me first, and I'll tell you what I believe in color. First of all, you met who you vote for. We've been doing this road show for a long time together, all of us talking. They're all fantastic people right here that are running the District 4 City Council. They all do it because they love Tulsa and they believe in District 4 and what's going on in the city. So this is about me. I'm a veteran of the United States Army. I was a police officer for 3 years right outside of Boston. I retired last year from American Airlines after 35 years. The last 10 years I've worked in the Human Resource Department. All my jobs in American. The last 25 years I've been in management, upper management. I'm a former race director for the Tulsa Run, Susan Golden Race Secure, and Route 66 Marathon coming up. I'm on a lot of different boards, including the Retired City Volunteer Program, Oklahoma Coalition for Fit Kids, sports commission, and I'm asking on all these boards because, you know, I'm not afraid to make a decision, I'm not afraid to be involved. American Airlines, I've got a lot of dealings with the unions, a lot of dealings with county management. You know, so I've been involved in making decisions, I'm not afraid to make a decision. I know when the time is when you have to be the leader, it's time you have to follow. I'm running for city council because I love Tulsa. And you can probably tell on my voice already, I'm not from Tulsa. I'm from Boston originally, but I've been here since 1975. Tulsa is my home. When I retired last year, everybody said, you're going home? No, I am home. Tulsa is my home. I chose to live in Tulsa. God chose me to be born in Boston, but I chose Tulsa. I love it here. You know, we all believe that Red Trunk is a great place to live. You know, like Rick said, you know, we need to develop the downtown and river. We need the tax base to help the neighborhood. The neighborhood is the base of the whole city. District 4 is the most diverse district in Tulsa, as far as people, as far as neighborhoods go. You know, you go around this district, it's a big district. It goes from the river, 21st Street, out to Harvard, down to 31st Street, out to Hudson, and back up to 21st, all the way to Sheridan. It takes it all downtown. It falls down all the way up to Sheridan. It's a big district. Very diverse district. You know, we need to work together, not only in District 4, we need to break down the barriers and work for the city. Because we have to work together to get Tulsa back on the right track. We haven't been on the right track for a while. So if we're going to take the whole city council and never lose the mayor's going to be on the 11th floor, we need to work together. And next week, I would like to make that report. You know, and like I say, I'm on the ballot for John, but you can call me Jack. Thank you.
Republican, I might get a little Kent Moreland to the podium. I wore this outfit so I could tell you this story. In 1984, I was in Winchester, England. And I was walking down the street, and there was a young woman and two young men sitting on a bench. And as I walked by, the young woman said, "Sporty bastard." So this is my sporty bastard outfit that I'm wearing. I also refer to it as my Oklahoma yuppie outfit. I'm an attorney. I practiced law in Tulsa for 30 years. I've been an assistant city attorney, an assistant district attorney. I'm in private practice. My wife, Terry, over here. Terry is, her name used to be Kelly a long time ago. She went to Central High School in downtown. We own and operate an executive suite for attorneys downtown. We have 55 lawyers in office space a month in the Beacon Building. And we live at Central Park on the 9th floor looking at downtown. I live 7 blocks from office and I walk for it most days. I am running, among other reasons, because I'm on the board of Central Park, which is a 400-unit condominium complex downtown, and we're subject to the sprinkler ordinance of the city. As Mr. Shipley mentioned, it was the reason of tearing down one building over 2 years, maybe two. And it's a big issue with people who live downtown since March. It's going to cost $4.4 million to fix our home. You can buy the city ordinances. I've been, assistant city attorney, assistant district attorney. I've been on board of Morton Clinic. Been very active in the issues relating to downtown. Had a conversation the other day with a fellow over at Wendy, who's very upset at TU because the university has acquired his store and they're going to have to move it. Ken Neal and I were in a discussion about the power of eminent domain, and we concluded that the city's use of the power of eminent domain to acquire property for TU was a pretty marginal issue. Obviously, that's going to have a big impact on you when it's all done, and you're all very concerned about it, and I think all of us need to keep a close eye on what happens out here in this neighborhood. All of these people are good folks. I'm repeating what Jack said. I think anybody you pick out of this group will do a good job for you. I have created a website called TulsaElections.com. And it has information about all of these people that you can meet up on and find out who it's at. We got them educated, voted a week from now, and I don't know if you're going to get that to your public. Do the best you can. You're going to get a good city councilor out of this bunch. and look forward to working with all of you who have taken one.
Majority vote of the council to approve a rezoning request when a sufficient protest petition is filed by property owners within 300 feet of the property to be rezoned. Do you support this charter change?
I oppose it. I think it basically would be put in a position like supermajorities on class and taxes. Basically would prohibit the development of the city. Have to basically elect people and trust to do the right thing for you, as opposed to, in effect, creating a blocking mechanism that allows majorities to prevent government.
I also oppose the amendment for the main reason, not that I'm opposed, obviously, to listening to the people. I just don't think we need to set up a mechanism that allows city councilors to begin to barter. I think that at least the perception has been that we have a city council that has sometimes had gridlock issues. And I think that if we set a mechanism which people begin to trade in order to set up blocks and doing that supermajority of just doing three more votes does not benefit the city as a whole. So I am obviously in favor of electing people who will respond to what the people electing them are asking for, but setting up a system that can gridlock the city, I don't think is the best way to be able to resolve that issue. I think the best way to resolve the issue is to vote out of office the people who are not listening to you.
I'm in the favor, just like the rest of them. I'm pretty much doing the same thing that we've all agreed to. We shouldn't have the right to be giving people just the right to move in and do the things that don't fit into the popular neighborhoods or the business or the areas. So I would oppose any zone issues that come before us.
Do you support the use of eminent domain to assist PU in the acquisition of property?
I might tell you that in 1976, I came down here from Missouri Highway Commission to do confirmation work for the city of Tulsa, including Mingo Valley Expressway and other acquisitions for public improvement. Obviously, cities cannot grow. For example, we wouldn't have the water supply we have here if the city had not had the power to acquire the right-of-way for the Saginaw line, same line with that in the Saginaw Lake. We've got to have it. As I said earlier, I think the city's use of power in the domain to acquire property for PE would support theoretically is a private university. Question is, who owns PU? I don't know who owns PU. It's a non-profit corporation, but it's a very close question as to whether that's appropriate or not. Now, I don't know if any of the lawyers who represent any property owners have in fact challenged the city's use of that power in this particular instance. The property owner has the right to challenge the right exercise the power of the city. Now, the city of New London case, which you may have all read about in the papers earlier this year, Supreme Court basically said the city of New London could acquire people's homes to put in a private development.
Can I interrupt you? Do you support the use of innocent names to assist to use in the acquisition of property?
I would say that I do not approve of it.
Thank you.
the value of the percentage.
I don't support the eminent domain to you. I think each case, there are some cases you have to look at to see really what it is you're trying to accomplish. But I'm thinking of an instance right now to you and think it's something I know there's a reason for, and I'm not supporting that. No.
Yeah, and I promise you, I'm not getting you a right defense answer. What I'm saying is that yes and maybe, which is. I think you've got to look at each situation individually and specifically. I think that, again, in trying to keep it to the TU situation, I think the term eminent domain has that flag being waived, and I think that the Supreme Court decision was a bizarre decision personally. But if there's a specific instance in a blighted area, I would perhaps be in favor of it. Looking at the realities of a situation in which a neighborhood is fighting it, I think that's a totally different animal to look at. So I don't want to get past that broad stroke of being against eminent domain, but to say in that particular case, it's going to be the specific situation you're looking at that moment.
I agree.
The
Supreme Court has no right to come up with such a novice issue. They are there for certain things, and that is one that was way out in left field. And I will not support any eminent domain type of issue on the council.
You know, TU is a great place to make the call for the inner law history. Right now, I don't believe I would support eminent domain. They're taking over businesses or homes, whatever. I don't know much about what they're taking over. I haven't read all that. But you got to look at each case, like Rick said, on an individual basis. You've got to support it, not.
I'm sorry, I'll reinvent it. I told you we all think alike up there. I have a question. I think they've already acquired all the property to pay for Lester Street, though, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
It's already done deal.
But, yeah. But didn't they buy some of those too? They didn't take them eminent domain, right? They bought some, like the restaurant there.
Some of them were acquired privately.
Bureau, educating people on scams, working with the police department on what we're finding, as more, so mine is more relationship oriented than it is actual going in and quote unquote fighting City Hall, so to speak. That has also worked because of where I live in the downtown area, in the areas of zoning, in the areas of working with almost every form or branch of the city government, working with those people in some way in our role to better business bureau. So what I think I bring is already an existing relationship with those people to be able to try to work together to accomplish a goal for our district.
I've been the city attorney for 3 years. I helped City Ansa on the board in Morning Clinic. Like to call examining the field board. I've been actively involved in the administration of city government. Well acquainted with most of the people down there. Have a large background.
Very good. Will city councilor be a full time job?
I'll take that one. I'll wait on the no. It's not designed to be a full time job. It is not expected that the city councilor should be micromanaging the city. It is to be able to serve as that balance to the mayor's office and be able to work toward the common goal. Personally, I think that if the city councilor sees this or takes this on as a full-time job, my position is that we have hired people to run the city, and it is our job to oversee those people. If they're not doing their job, they need to be replaced. It's not the job of the city council to operate and run the departments of the city.
Now, I agree with him to an extent that it is a part-time job. Once you get the city going the way it's supposed to be going right now, the city council is not going the direction it's supposed to be going. It's going to take a while. It might be a new person on the 11th floor. We don't know. We know there's going to be 14 city councils coming down there. We're going to have to learn to work together to get things going the right direction. I was down here today with the meeting that they can't make decisions. What they're going to do with the 30-time sales tax, what they're going to do 18 months, 60 months, they don't know what they're going to do. They can't make a decision on the sprinkler system down here today. So I think for a while, maybe not a full-time job, but you're going to put more than 15 to 20 hours a week in the job, about the first year or so, to get the city back to the post.
I know it's not a full-time job, but I think it is going to be a full-time job. I think it's going to take to get involved with the community that they have, and start to
meet
more than
every
people,
and get it before 9 o'clock.
I
agree. Even though it's good that we're only normally supposed to be down there like on Tuesday for the committee meetings and Thursday evenings, as you see on TV, I would plan on being there on the other 3 days, midday, in the afternoon, returning calls with my constituents every day.
It's only paid $18,000 a year, so they got raised. So if you don't have an independent source of income, nobody can afford to be on the city council. So obviously, if it's a full-time job, that's the guy.
Somebody told me that you get benefits from it. That you got to begin. They said you're a city employee, you get full benefits. I
never
think. I don't think any one of
them. But for me, I get the benefit.
My wife can retire if I get it then.
What are your positions on non-owner occupied properties and how will you help neighborhood associations address that issue so that their neighborhoods shall be improved?
My own question.
It looks like you made that one up on the spot.
I want to go on that one. Hey, I live in the Fifth Park High-Rise condominium. We struggle all the time to keep the number of renters in our complex down because it hurts the ability to find the properties, right? What I say to you is we need to gentrify these neighborhoods and drive up the property values because the higher your property value, the better the renters are going to have. Improve your neighborhood, improve the quality of people who live there.
Like I said, I live on Riverside Drive, the Riverside Neighborhood Association, and we have a lot of rental homes down there. We have a good association, people are not taking their homes. We have somebody that tracks that to get involved in. When we get down to City Hall, we call, it used to be Genie Manic, it used to be Drake and deal with it. We had a problem, we called Genie Manic, got taken care of. So now we're still working with the new folks, there's a problem to take care of. But our association doesn't deal with it. See, sometimes he gets, you know, a lot of lawyers own some of the property there on that. That lives way out somewhere else, we could care less about the house. But we still fight them all the time.
Thank you.
in Kinder Weaver, we have that problem, the big problem we have. And Justin and Michelle working all the time and trying to find out who the owners are and make them more responsible for the property. And it is a big problem for all the neighbors, I guess. I understand that we need to work on that more.
Right. I think the key is again relationship. I promise you I'm not being presumptuous, but I sat down the other night and I looked out, you know, so I had to think to myself, how am I going to manage contact with people I represent? And so we were looking at quarterly neighborhood association president's meetings, those kinds of things. And I think the key is to work within existing ordinances, but the problem is that you're not being responded to. Sometimes the ordinances exist to be able to make that property owner do something. The problem is your voice isn't being heard. And the only way in which that can be applied is to actually have somebody who can respond to you. And I think that's the key to be able to resolve the problems you're fixing. What you're complaining about is that you just got to have somebody who will listen to you and respond to the problem and then have the ordinance that's already in place in action.
I agree with Rick completely. We need to look at the city ordinances that are already in place and work to, if they have to be readjusted to where it will fit all of the city of Fulton. Because I belong to the same neighborhood association that Jack does. And we do have a major problem down there. We can go down there any time of the week and find a house completely covered in weeds and other stuff. And we were lucky one time, about a year ago. Jack might correct me on this, but I think it was about a year ago. The police officers had a problem with the place, one home being used as a drug house. When the owner was gone out of town, they went in there and they cleaned that place up. They took 2 weekends and came in and cleaned up the place. And that is the major thing that we need to look at, is the ordinances and corrections that they need to be.
This question comes to somebody from our community. What specific plans could you do to help our neighborhood association?
I'm right next to you in Kinder Weaver. So the concerns I have and the things that we do will affect you as well. And just like not too long ago, Bama Pride came to me and said, they bought the building over here, the office place, and now they're looking into coming over this side, building over here, maybe buying a bring some land from the school, the park. When you talk to the wrong person, you need to go to Renaissance. You need to talk to them first and see what they think. And get them on the same page and get their idea. Because I don't want to go against a building and then things get all set. Talk to people first and get their insight into it. That's what you need to do. So those are things that I think that keeping out an eye out, listening to what's going on in your neighborhood and getting you aware of it and on top of it, right up to the captain.
No, I'm not saying that to impossible to come to these sidewalks and do that. The question is, I'm going to play attorney on this one. I did arbitration with a lot of American Airlines. You throw the question right back. What do you want me to do? What does your neighborhood want? That's what I can work with you. I can sit up in front of the world. So what do you want? I don't know. I've walked into the neighborhood, not going to be good, but I don't know all the issues in this. So I'm not going to say anybody in line. So what do you want? You tell me that we can work together on this. Just the way it should be.
I have a background in technology. I was a crypto repairman in the Air Force, and I actually own a company called Morlaw.com, which is a publishing company. I think the city might be able to set up a server, a web server, that allow each of the homeowners associations to have its own website and be able to publish and distribute information to make it easy to communicate amongst yourselves and with one another on issues of the pertinent and important to you. That might be good. Good talk, very much, Manny. See you today.
I can't stand up here and tell you I know exactly what I'm going to do for your specific neighborhood. Because the one thing that I have learned through this campaign is that the more I learn, the more I know I don't know. I had a gentleman in my office spend 45 minutes talking to me about the silt level of Keystone Lake. I had never thought about the silt level of Keystone Lake in my entire life, I can assure you. What I can tell you is that I will listen to you. I will work with you. and then I will have to make the best decision I can with the information that I have in the best interest of the entire city. That's all I can tell you that I can do, and that's the only promise I can make that I know I'll be able to live up to, is that I'll listen to what you have to say, talk it out, and see what we can do. That's about the best I can promise at this point of the game.
My answer to all this is one simple thing. It's not what I intend to do at City Hall, it's what you, the neighborhood, need from City Hall.
Very good, thank you. I know I've got a whole stack of like 89 questions here, but I'm gonna close and then give you guys a little bit longer to answer these. And the question is, why should we vote for you?
I don't regret the oldest trip.
Yeah, we started out, you know, they had the youngest person. I'm the oldest, and I run quick enough. What I'm saying to you is, if you go on the attorney, call him up and say, you know Kent Moore, 3,700 attorneys, every one of them will tell you that they know me, every one of them will tell you that I'm a straight shooter, that I'm a man of my word, that I do what I say I'm going to do, that I will serve you as I say I will serve you. And if anybody calls you, I'll let you know a lawyer. That is for some contact. Call the lawyer and ask them. And they'll tell you, if you vote for me, I will serve you well. If you say anything else, vote against it. Okay? Let them tell you what they're thinking.
I'll say the same thing, sir. You know, when I take on a project, there's something to do. I'm going to get the job done. I don't know the answer to everything, but I'm not afraid to go out and do the answer. Like on the top of the run that I put on, when we get 9,000 people coming out and run the parade, I can't do that myself. You have to come out and talk to people. You have to be able to go out and ask questions. I know where to go. There's any way to do the system. That's what I can do very good at. I'm not afraid to say, I don't think that's an answer to one that makes up a little. I'm not afraid to work my way to do the same thing as well. That's something I've learned a long time ago. So I'm not afraid to do that. I'll take on anything that we believe in together and do that we want to. I will work for that. So, vote for John.
You really are old.
No.
Now, I have to tell you, I'm sure Clay knows me rough and laughing. Maria, we this group is kind of a love fest in this race. We all get along very well. Jack got Maria sick. Maria got me sick. And then she turned twice and coughed on me during the video. And I said, you are bound and determined to knock me out of this race one way or the other. Okay. Now that's why we were laughing. We were not laughing at what anyone said. I wanted to make sure everybody understood that. Why should you vote for me? I think that what I have to offer is a background in serving the community and trying to protect individual consumers and being able to protect people, and at the same time trying to be able to make sure that good, ethical businesses can succeed. I think the one thing that I have had to come to grips with during this campaign is that at the end of the day, win or lose, I'm still the Better Business Bureau guy. And I cannot have any part of this campaign affect the ethics or the integrity of what our organization represents. So I think that what you will at least find in me is somebody who is so concerned about the ethics and integrity of my reputation that I will not knowingly, if that is such a sentence to correct, do anything to discredit them. And so I think I'm just somebody that you can trust, somebody who will listen to you, and somebody who will try to do my hardest to improve the quality of the city in which we live. I love this place, and I don't want to ever leave this place. The reason I ran for this is because, unlike many of you, I turned on a city council meeting and was embarrassed by what I saw. And I spent the rest of the afternoon asking, or in the back of my mind, thinking and praying, I hope somebody steps up to the plate. And then the next question was, if you believe so strongly that somebody needs to step up to the plate, why don't you do it yourself? And, okay, so that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
He's a sneaky, and I hit him with a sneaky. I did.
The reason I'm running, I've had some experience in government. I used to work for a congressman that's been working for a few years. I don't want to thank the handle, not just the congressional office in Washington, D.C., but I do have a handle three different congressional district offices. That was a big headache, and I handled it. And that's what I'll do for U.S. City Hall. If you pick up the phone in the middle of the afternoon on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday afternoon, you won't get my secretary. You'll get me. Because I'll be there to take the call and do what I can to help you get your problem solved. Yeah, not 2 to 3 days late, but that same day.
I've been listening to neighborhood and helping neighborhood. I'm going to protect our neighborhood. That is why I think I'm the right person for this job. I have a lot of experience, and I can tell I have you back there. You can look at some of the things I've done. I'll be the little piece in your wallet.
I can get there.
Thank you.
If everyone could join us in one collective cough on the Maria.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to say personally that I appreciate all the candidates for coming out tonight. There's a couple of us in the room that can speak from experience that it's not an easy thing to do to run for public office, and it is. Does require a lot of time and a lot of thought and a lot of a lot of support. And one of these five people are going to be our next district 4 city councilor. And regardless of how we feel on the specific issues, the one thing that that we I think all agree on is that it all starts at the ballot box. The primary is a week from today, next Tuesday. The polling place that used to be at the First Church of the Nazarene has changed. I believe it's at the new fire station on 15th Street. Be sure to plan accordingly. Yeah, I don't know about the parking. There's only like five parking
spots.
That's true. You can't vote early in the ballot. At the Polk County Election Board on Friday and Monday. And they've got to be parking lots. So. Once again, I'd like to thank Bob Kibley for coming out. I'd like to thank all of you all for coming out. I'd like to thank all of you for coming out this evening. And once again, thank you for the candidates for coming out this evening.